Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is the recap episode for round 3 of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Absolute madness out there on Saturday. And to break it all down, I've got the boys with me. Let me welcome them in. Mark Immelman. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Cool. How you boys been doing? Happy 4th of July to all of you. I'm South African birth, American by choice. I'm a citizen, so I can say happy 4th of July to you boys.
There you go. Happy 4th. And the other gentleman on the line is Kyle Porter, who, Kyle, we have talked all day long again, and I'm looking forward to another pod with you.
I think I legit have spent more time with Rick since the restart than I've spent with any of my kids and possibly my wife. So that's probably not great for you, Rick, but it's been fun.
I'm loving it. No worries. We are also on YouTube. Hello, YouTube.
What's up, guys?
There's been some good comments. I've been interacting, which is usually a terrible thing to do, interacting with YouTube comments.
Be careful.
So far, so good over there. So subscribe, First Cut Podcast over on YouTube. Let's jump into this, gentlemen. Round 3 was absolutely crazy. Mark, we'll start with you. This is kind of a tale of 2 days, you know, or two. Yeah, I guess 2 parts of the round here, where early on Saturday, the scores were absolutely outrageous. You know, Wes Bryan goes flying up the leaderboard, Tony Finau, Hideki Matsuyama. And then it seemed as the day went on and the stats kind of bear this out, the course got a little bit more difficult. And we didn't see any like 63s from guys in the final group.
Well, it's what we were expecting, to be honest with you. Part of the show Thursday, Friday on the Golf Channel, Mike Tirico lives in the area and he was hosting the show. And he goes, listen, guys, we haven't had very much rain yet in the last 7 days or so. The place is fairly dry. Greens are receptive early in the week, but the rough is lush. And he goes, and I expect it to be sunny and warm and it's going to dry out on the weekend. So I think it'll be a good test. So we were looking for this on Thursday and Friday, and both days were just a birdie fest. I mean, it was a fiesta out there. And this morning there was more of the same. And I was like, oh, no, you know, really? You know, after we've had this ridiculous cut again and folks are just shooting the grass off the place. And then all of a sudden you see that little brown tinge to the golf course. And the more we went through the show, the more we made our way through the broadcast, the more that brown turned to that sort of purple hue. And then you know, okay, these greens are firming up and they're getting faster. And so as a result, the Donald Ross place began to play to its personality because, you know, with these humps and hollows on the greens and some difficult hole locations, if greens are receptive, you can go ahead and fire. But if they're firm, you've got to be a little more precise with where you land the ball, the trajectory you pick and such. And so I was excited about that. And I really hope we get some more of that Sunday afternoon.
I'm looking forward to that as well. Not only the scoring, Kyle, but the construction of this leaderboard. You know, everyone who made the cut was within 7 shots going into the round. 41 players were within 5 shots of the lead. And we went on HQ all day and we were like, oh my God, like anybody can win this. There's a million people in contention. And then in the last 45 minutes or so of the day, we finally got a little bit of separation. Matthew Wolf, now 3 shots clear of the closest chase group, Ryan Armour and Bryson DeChambeau. Those two, 2 shots clear of the next chase group. So we've got separation at the top now.
Yeah, we do. And I think that's, I don't know, I kind of like it being bunched up. I think that's maybe more exciting, but I also like a star like Wolf or a future star like Wolf being out in front because, you know, he's talked about, I think he, you know, I was talking to my dad the other day and we were talking about Matthew Wolf and he was like, I think he's got a little Spieth in him Timestamp that, by the way.
Oh, so your dad that's also talks about Jordan Spieth all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. We gotta. That's gotta be part of the show notes. Producer Jacob is just my timestamp on when I mentioned Spieth. Anyway, he was like, I think he's got some Spieth in him, in that he's just like mentally, like a little bit of a roller coaster. And it's like, if you just shut that off, and Wolf has basically said this week, right? Like he's thanks Mark. he's basically said, if I shut my mind off to the things that I don't need to be thinking about, then I play better. I'm just a better player. And that's not, you know, that's not necessarily a unique thing to the golf world, but I think it's very, maybe more important for him than for other guys. Cause I think there is a lot going on there. And if he can just shut that down, let the talent take over, like you mentioned on HQ, Rick, with somebody like DJ, it's top 25 type talent. And I think I think you're seeing that this week.
Well, I want to add to that. And I agree wholeheartedly. The setup of the golf course and how it shakes out over the final 5-6 holes, it's going to lend itself to, you know, a sort of a 5 wide sort of a leaderboard coming down the stretch, because you've got 13, which is a short 4. Then you've got 14, which is a reachable 5. Then you've got 15, which for these guys this week has been wedges and 9 irons. Then 16 is a good par 4. And then you've got a reachable 5. So you've got that stretch of holes, 13, 14, 15, and then certainly 17. So there are 4 holes where you can get busy if you're out in front of the leaderboards. And what I saw through the Thursday, Friday is leaderboards are pretty well positioned. And they're not in the place where a player will walk past them and you can disregard the boards. The boards are in plain view. So if you're someone like a Wolf and talking about outside distractions and stuff, you know, you're seeing the stuff front and center. And sure, there's no screams from the galleries out in front, but you walk down 17 and you look up and all of a sudden you see some dudes just went through that stretch 4 under and now he's one ahead of you or something. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing, because it's kind of that thing where a bird in the hand is sort of worth two in the bush. You know, oftentimes you want the last group because you want them out in front. And yet to a certain extent, and if you're Tiger or some proven winner, you can deal with this. But if you're some guy who's sort of new to the winner's circle and some guy's posted, that all of a sudden ratchets up the pressure. So if things are boding well, really, for a pretty wide open race coming down the stretch tomorrow.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So a couple things on Matthew Wolf, a couple stats here. Converting 25 out of 38 of his birdie opportunities. That's 65%. Tour average, 30%. pretty good. Most birdies and eagles, 25 of them through 54 holes of any player this season. He's, you know, how many pencils did he go through today? A couple, with all the birdies and bogeys on the card, and eagle in there as well. So, Kyle, we'll start with you. I mean, he's riding a hot putter, but I feel like he doesn't have to do all that much. I mean, I know it's hard to win on the PGA Tour, but 3 shots clear. What does he have to do to win this thing?
I mean, who what did we say 7 days ago?
What did we say?
What about Brendan Todd?
I mean,
we said he have to go out and shoot like 2 under par.
you said the exact same. I mean, you yeah. and I said the exact same sentence yeah. of like, hey, Brendan Todd's riding a hot yeah. putter. All he has to do is go out and shoot whatever it was, 68 or 69. And then all of a sudden you post a 75. Now, Matthew Wolf, I don't think is Brendan Todd, but I think the profile there is it's not concerning, but it's a little like, I don't know, maybe. Like, I think there's a 75 in there. Now, is he going to shoot it on Sunday? I don't know. Maybe not. But I will say this. I watch him, and I probably do this. This is probably a Mark Immelman thing that I shouldn't be doing, but I watch Wolf. And every time he's over the ball, like right now, I just feel so confident about where it's going. Like his swing looks like it's in such a nice groove that sometimes he can get a little wild with where he's hitting, especially off the tee. But right now, I just like I'm already envisioning the shot tracker in my head for where the ball is going to go, and it's exactly where it goes every time.
There's no doubt that he operates on high confidence, and this boy's got some genuine swagger. I mean, this is not just pose. He believes in what he does. To swing like that, and then to tell your instructor as a young teenager, I'm coming to you, and guys have tried to change my swing, and I don't want to, and I believe in what I'm doing. that speaks to a guy with an innate confidence that is almost off the charts. So he's got that going about him, which is nice. But then you mention these numbers per reps for him tomorrow. He plays the par fives in 5 under today. There are 4 of them, right? He's played them 10 for the week, I believe it is. And so essentially the golf course for him is a par 68. And I'm not sure what the wind forecast is going to be like today. And he's like Bryson. With the length he can carry it, he just blasts it over a number of these bunkers that sit in the 290, 300 range in the corners of the doglegs. So that gets him wedges into this green. So I would say even with nerves tomorrow, this golf course's par for him is going to be 68 or 9. If he goes and puts 68 up, someone's going to have to get him.
I also think it works to his advantage that he knows everybody's going to be shooting 65s. Because I think if Wolf was like one up in a U.S. Open and he's trying to shoot a 73 and kind of defend it, that I think that gets problematic. I think he's great when he's like, I got to go shoot a number, and he just, again, shut the mind off and go do it. Have you been around him at all, Rick?
No, not at all.
You have, Mark. He is. There's something like electric about him, and Mark was kind of alluding to this earlier, and it's I think it's an intangible. It's not necessarily anything that you can like put your finger on, but he has this electricity about him that you're like, okay, this guy's going to be a superstar on the PGA Tour. I don't know why I can tell that. I don't know why I think that even, but it's true.
He went to ISU.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not just that. Christopher Ventura went to OSU. I don't think he's going to be a superstar on the PGA Tour. But I don't know. There's something about Wolf that you're like, okay, this is different than being around other even really good amateurs at that age.
I've seen them come and go. You know, I'm the old boy on the podcast. I'm the Ryan Armour of this leaderboard right now. And I've seen golfers, okay?
Wait, what are me and Rick?
You're Wolf and Hovland.
Okay.
Got to figure out who's who.
We'll take it.
No, you got to be Spieth, Kyle. You sort of sometimes really
just falling off the planet right now.
No, so I've seen golfers come and go, and it takes. Look, I'm a golf nerd, right? And when I'm walking up and down the PGA Tour ranges or wherever I am, you know, I'm into what the guys are doing. But you've got to be sort of special to turn my head. You know, when Rory hits, I'll stop. When Tiger hits, I'll stop. When Vijay Singh hits, I'll stop. When Ernie Els, you know, these sorts of guys, then I'll stop and I'll watch. And the first time I saw Wolf, I was drawn to this guy. I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off him. And it wasn't because I'm a golf teacher deep down and I was fascinated by this golf swing. To your point, Kyle, there's a little something electric to him. And last year at the Memphis event, you know, that event that you met a bunch of friends at last year, Kyle?
Okay. I thought that was over.
I had him for PGA Tour Live, and it was 18 holes. And Southwind is a good golf course and you can't fake it around there. And he didn't have his best stuff and he grounded out initially. Then he got after a few fives in the back and put together around, I can't remember the number, but it was in the 60s, and he just did everything right. And afterwards I was like, okay, the hype is earned and the hype is real. And I'm a believer.
Well, he can make us all a believer on Sunday. Kyle, you know how I write the prop questions for CBS Sports golf props game?
Yeah.
I wrote this one specifically for you, Kyle.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah.
So if you would like to win $1,000 without having to put up any of your own cash at stake, you can do that by going and playing our CBS Sports golf prop game at cbssports.com/golfprops. Again, that is cbssports.com/golfprops. We have 10 questions every single round. So one last chance to win $1,000 this week for the Rocket Mortgage. Just log into cbssports.com, sign up, answer the questions, and you are in contention. Terms and conditions obviously apply. Kyle, this one didn't age as well. You talked about how things age throughout the day. Which Oklahoma State alum will have the better round 4 score? Your options: Matthew Wolf or Christopher Ventura or a tie. He gets both of those. So Ventura or the tie. Now, don't forget, Ventura knows he's got to go out there and shoot something low tomorrow.
I kind of like Ventura.
Ooh.
Brutal, man.
I tried to sell Ventura.
Yeah, I kind of like it. He's gone 69, 68, 68. There's no pressure on him. So I think you're looking at just a baseline of 68. And if he goes below that, yeah, I'm essentially betting on Wolf like fading. And I think that's definitely in play. I don't think that's in play for Ventura. I think he's baseline 68 right now.
I have to admit, Rick, because these questions of yours are hard, I managed to pick the Doc Redman one on Friday. So I got nice. That right.
Good job.
I'm with Kyle. You know, 68 is a kind of a good number, and Ventura's got the free swinging mentality about him tomorrow, but not as free swinging as I think people would think, because he's inside the top 20 currently. And this is a big deal for a guy who's sort of trying to cobble together starts and make as much money as possible. Now, when Wolf was in contention last year, this weekend at 3M, he went out and got after that golf course, man, and was hitting wedges stiff, and there was no back down in him. So I'm actually, and maybe I'm sort of picking the winner, but I'm saying I think Matthew Wolf will shoot lower out of those two.
It is interesting because Wolf, quote unquote, doesn't have to do as much, but I still think he does better than Ventura. This is weird. It actually became kind of a more difficult question as the day went along. So I'll break the tie. I'll go with Matthew Wolf. Bryson DeChambeau, currently in a tie for second. Mark, have you ever seen a golfer who through 3 days has hated every single shot that he has hit and is currently in a tie for second?
I laughed after round two when he shoots 67. Okay. And he says, the question is pitched to him. I think it was Lisa Cornwall. She goes, so grade your game. And he goes, B. And I was like, dude, you've just shot 5 under par. If you do that for the rest of your career, you're gonna stroll into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And so I was sort of, my eyes were popped at that. But, you know, there's been a lot of noise about Bryson and a lot of conversation about the protein shakes and all that sort of stuff and how long he's hitting it. But he had a shot yesterday. Now, I'll concede I didn't see much of his round today, but he had a shot yesterday on the fourth hole of par five, where he had 291 total on this par five for his second shot, made it probably about 280 or so to the front of the green. This cat flies a 3-wood into the middle of the green. The thing came down from altitude, okay, and hit the green and sort of just took one or two bounces and settled within about 15 feet of where it landed. He flew at about 285 in the air and landed it softly. And I was like, there are very few guys in the world's game that can do that. There are very few. And so he's just operating at a level right now. And he has weapons where if you look at him and you just said, okay, it's one army versus another, he has a serious cache of weapons about him right now. And he's almost outmatching people. And I feel like he's going to put it together at some stage. I still have a feeling he might do it tomorrow because he's 3 back and he might have that about him, because if he's telling me, what's he, 15 under or so, I don't know.
16.
16?
16, yeah.
And he hasn't played very well. Who knows? He might shoot 64 or 3 or something tomorrow afternoon if the conditions are out there. Because just like I said about Wolf, it's a par 68. So he needs to pick off a few birdies and wedges and stuff. I mean, something in the low 60s is on if you are pulling for DeChambeau.
Yeah, it's really incredible because, and Kyle, I think you were kind of getting at this a little bit on HQ, last in proximity, first in driving distance. It feels like he is rightfully upset all the time because it feels like he's leaving so much out there.
That's true. I did a little digging on the proximity thing, and Bryson is actually, I think he might have broken shot link.
Oh, no.
So it's true that he's last in proximity to the hole. That's statistically true. Like, he's last in the field. Here's the problem, though. So on the first hole, this is from Saturday's round. The first hole, it says his approach shot is from 387 yards. Well, that's obviously not his approach shot. And it says his proximity is 69 feet. The reason, Rick, is because it's counting his drive as his approach shot.
Oh my God, he's too close. Okay, so they actually mentioned this on, not like, I don't know how like the whole laser grid works, but essentially he was hitting drives, I think it was last week, and they were talking about PGA Tour Live. It was like past the grid, like the grid that they have set up that they can look at. So like they weren't even getting some of his driving distances because he was outside the grid.
Yeah, so that's what's happening here. His actual proximity on the first hole was 7 feet because he made a birdie putt. He hit it to seven feet.
He chipped it up there. Yeah.
Right. And so
Bryson, so he broke it.
He's breaking shot length. This happened on the first hole, the third hole. It says his approach on the par 4 13th was from 399. Well, that's just the tee shot. So this is happening actually a lot. And somebody brought this up on Twitter. Somebody replied to me and I was like, I don't know what to tell you. He's last in proximity, but this is why, which is hilarious and crazy. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do still think he needs to tighten up the wedge game and turn some of those 380 yard drives into kick-ins, especially at a course like this, that's a little bit shorter, but, he's been really impressive.
I'll tell you this. First off, I commend you for finding that out. I mean, I've got high respect for you two guys, and I like working alongside you. And the fact that you're going to look into that, it speaks a lot to your love for strokes gained. Jokes aside, and that is really cool insight because it's something I didn't consider. But I will tell you this from a playing point of a view. He's hitting the ball so hard, and with the temperatures out there right now, the golf ball to me is getting greasy through the air. It's not spinning and grabbing. So it's sort of tumbling through the air. And he's hit some wedge shots that have just gotten off the grid. If you talk about his tee shots, I mean, he's flown targets in the craziest way and he's barely hitting. So to me, something that Bryson he's probably identified this and he'll probably go and work on it, that in high temperatures, because he's worked on the wedge game where he's reducing wrist hinge and he's sort of slowing down levers, if you will, by reducing them. But still, he's hitting these golf balls that are too fast and they're just not spinning enough and they're going too far. So the long drive personality is being taken on by the wedges. And just like Rory, who ironed out some of the wedge kinks by going to a more spinny golf ball, Bryson's going to need to start referencing and considering this stuff too, because I've seen him miss a few targets long for the last few weeks when there have been hot conditions. It's just because the ball's going too far with these short irons.
Well, what's also interesting as well is Wolf clipped Bryson last year at the 3M for the victory. Bryson can get a little revenge this time around.
Well, remember last year Bryson posted.
Right.
And now I don't know how it shakes out. Are they going to be in the final group together? I haven't looked at the pair.
No, it's Ryan Armour and Wolf. Bryson is with can't remember.
Merritt or Hubbard, maybe.
So Bryson can go and post again. Who knows? Yeah. We might get a reprise of what happened at 3M last year. Over
Wolf,
July 4th.
Wolf might meme him again like he did last year.
All right. I want to talk about Webb. I want to update our picks to win. We're going to do that on the other side real quick. We're going to take a break. Hear a word from our partners. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape
of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to. And Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
And we're back. Webb Simpson has to be the most disappointing round of the day, gentlemen. This is a guy, Kyle, you and I both were, I think rightfully so, looking at a guy who should have been in contention to win this golf tournament. He goes out and plays his last, 14 holes, one over, something like that. What went wrong for Webb?
Well, he's not putting. You know what? Producer Jacob mentioned the noises that were made on the broadcast when Webb missed his par putt on 18. And that's been sort of a microcosm of his whole week. I think he's like 60th in putting or something, which is not what Webb has been at. You know, he had an opportunity on Saturday to at Harbortown, RBC Heritage, where he's kind of biding his time. He's kind of just like staying up there, not really making his move. And then finally he shoots 30, 31 on the back on Sunday and just kind of runs away a little bit, even though he only won by one. That felt like what he was kind of trying to do this Saturday and on into Sunday, but he didn't stay up there. I mean, he dropped that shot on 18. So now he's six back. And as well as he's hitting the ball, it's just hard to make up all six of those strokes with the guys that you have in front of you, with Bryson, with Matthew Wolf. So I think his putter kind of let him down over the first 3 days and didn't give him, it's not like he can't win the tournament, but it didn't give him the best opportunity going into Sunday.
I'm going to mine that a little bit farther and say, okay, statistically, he didn't putt very well. He's striking the irons fantastically well. And on these greens, you have to hit your irons well to give yourself good looks for putts, because if you're beyond the hole, you're playing defense. Typically on a Donald Ross place, long is wrong. And if you hit the ball hole high, you've got something with a lot of bend to it because of the way the greens typically tilt from back to front. And so he's hit the irons great into the right position. But from what I've seen, it looks to me that the stroke is fine. It just looks like they're missing on lines. And a number of the putts have missed just a whisker low or a whisker high. So there's either a speed mismanagement or the line is just, the read is just slightly off. Because I don't think it's mechanical right now. And it's in the situation, sort of to your observation, Cal, where at Hilton Head, I had his group in the final round. He went bananas in the first two rounds on the greens, then was sort of sedate Saturday. And then Sunday was just easing along. He was like two under through his first 11 holes, I believe it was. Then he drills a 15-footer on 12, makes another one 20 feet on 13, two putts for birdie on 40, 15, whatever it is. Makes one on 16 and on 17. So I think it's just, he's just a little bit from those putts going down. Now, I think he's left himself a tough road to hoe, but I feel like he'll probably make his share at some stage soon because he's making good strokes.
Well, we're going to see it, and we're going to see it all on CBS this weekend. We've got options for you to watch the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Motown on your computer. Yes, sir. Just go to cbssports.com on your phone. Hint. If you're at a little, pool party, little beach action for the holiday weekend, maybe use your phone. It's totally free. Just download the CBS Sports app and you are off and running, watching Matthew Wolf poke it around on Sunday. You can also stream on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV through the CBS Sports app on those devices. So in other words, there is no excuse to miss out on the action. And the action, gentlemen, is now to the point where we get to update our picks and try to figure out who is going to win this. Thanks to William Hill's Golf Lines here. Obviously, Matthew Wolf, the significant favorite, plus 120. Bryson DeChambeau right behind at plus 210. Then you get into Ryan Armour, 12-1. Webb Simpson, 22-1. Kyle, we'll start with you. There is a tall task ahead for anyone not named Matthew Wolf to win this golf tournament. How do you think this one winds up?
I wonder what was DJ on Saturday night last week? He was probably in that Bryson range at like plus 200 or something.
That's probably right.
I think it was like, I think Brandon Todd was plus 175. DJ was plus 200.
That sounds right.
If I'm remembering our HQ correctly. I kind of like it's some action on Webb and Hovland down there, right? Like if you look at tee to green stuff this week, I think they're both top three. I think Webb's two and Hovland is three, and neither of them have putted it at all. So I don't think it's irrational to think that there's like a 62 out there for one of them, 63, maybe 64, somewhere in that range.
Can I provide some context to that statement?
Yeah.
There are only three golfers inside the top 29 of the leaderboard that have lost strokes putting this week. It is Webb, Victor Hovland, and Hideki Matsuyama.
There you go. Yeah. So I don't think it's crazy to think that one of them could post something dirty. And I don't know. It's hard because it's not only do you need Wolf to fall off, but you're also three back of Bryson. So that becomes problematic. But I don't know. Hovland at 33 is kind of fun.
I hope you're right. Mark, any any insight here?
Hey, Patrick Reed's checked out. He's already in Ohio, right? Yeah. Okay.
I think
that was my pick. You just had to smart about that for a minute. Hey, I'm going this way. Check out these scores since our restart. 65, 65, 70, 66. 67, 64, 70, 66. 65, 67, 65, 68. You know what I'm talking about?
It's got to be Bryson.
That's Bryson. Yeah. This cat, he's got how many rounds has he gone where he's made five or more birdies in a row? I think he's operating at about a 7 out of 10 clip right now. And on this golf course, the beach just going to go on tomorrow. If the weather is in good shape, there's a little breeze, he's going to get off to the par fives, get a few wedges in hands. I think he does 65 or so tomorrow again. That's seven. That gets him to 22. I think that's going to be a pretty good score. So I'm going with Bryson.
Was Reed your one and done, Mark?
Yeah.
That's tough. The Bryson thing, this is what I've been thinking about all week. Does it play at a major? Like, can this work at a major?
You know where it can really work?
Augusta. PGA?
Thank you. Augusta National.
Yeah,
it's gonna be crazy because we know Augusta so well, and you're gonna see shots you've never seen before.
Can you imagine what he tries to do on like 2 and 15?
You know, yeah, I've got to just add to this. Tiger proofing sounds so much cooler than Bryson proofing.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, are we gonna have to do this?
Yeah, that's really interesting, man. I wish the Masters was next week.
I was at Harding Park for the media day earlier this year after Pebble Beach, it's long and it plays long because it's cold. It's cool always. It's like that the bay there is like an air conditioner, but the fairways were narrow and that rough was dense. So that place is going to really reward someone who drives it long and straight, and that's kind of what he's doing right now. But then you've got to manage the whole Poenio on the greens thing. So I think that's going to mitigate stuff for certain people.
Did you have any 330 carries?
After my third shot, yeah. After I'd pitched out for my second.
Another 65 on Sunday from Bryson might get it done. I hate to be the guy that takes just the chalk, but Matthew Wolf, three-shot lead. The percentage of time that guys go on to win with the three shot leads, 44.7% of the time the last 15 years, thanks to a stat from Justin Ray. It's just,
I'd like to see who those individuals with a three stroke lead were and how many of them they were. And I bet you a number of those dudes' last name was Woods.
Yeah. There might not be a lot of one time winners on that list.
No.
Yeah. Or 21 year olds for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, well, we're gonna find out tomorrow. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Let me thank you for joining me. It's Mark Immelman. You can find him on Twitter and Instagram at @Mark_Immelman. It's Kyle Porter. You can find him on Twitter at @KylePorterCBS. I'm Rick Gaiman. You can find me at @RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut. Catch you next time.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.